Well, peace, friends. My name's Tom. I'm the pastor here at Sycamore Creek, and that was a scene from the movie Into the Wild, one of my favorite movies of all time, a great book as well by John Krakauer. It tells the story of this young man named Christopher McCandless, who in his 20s wanted to escape from all of the people that were causing him all kinds of problems and get out into the Alaskan bush and live off the land in total seclusion from everyone else. Now, the story of Christopher McCandless doesn't turn out well, although I'm jumping ahead of myself. But I sometimes have that same compulsion to get away from everybody. Before I got married, or before I had kids, I'm a huge backpacker. I love getting out in the wilderness. I'd spend time backpacking. I went on a one-night trip by myself, a two-night trip. And eventually, sort of the longest I'd ever been out in the wilderness by myself, I went up to Craig Lake State Park. Anybody been up there in the UP? It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And I spent 2 nights and 3 days all by myself, and I didn't see a soul for that entire time. I have that same compulsion. Maybe it's because I'm an introvert, to get away. And I think that sometimes we think, you know, if I could just get away from everybody, then all of my problems would be solved. Today we're going to talk about solitude, and we're going to learn that solitude has a different purpose. Solitude is for renewing relationships. Solitude is for renewing relationships. It's for learning to live with others the way that Jesus did. It's for becoming a disciple of Jesus. Now, the story of Christopher McCandless is one image of being by yourself, but there's another image in popular media and TV or movies of solitude. Maybe you recognize this place. Does anybody know what this is? The Fortress of Solitude. It's where Superman goes. It's before he really knows who he is. He throws those crystals out into the lake or the ice, and out pops the Fortress of Solitude, and he learns from these sort of holographic images of his father, he learns who he really is and where he came from. But at the end of that moment, that scene in the movie, Superman's father says that the purpose of Superman is to serve Earth's collective humanity. To serve Earth's collective humanity. Superman goes out in the Fortress of Solitude, spends 12 years there to be able to go back and serve others. Christopher McCandless goes out in Alaska to try to get away from everybody, to be secluded. Now, there's two things that we're going to learn that kind of mess up relationships today. That when we get into solitude, we can begin to focus on these two things. We sometimes intrude, and sometimes we avoid. Do you know that you can be too present to the people around you? You've had that experience where somebody is too present to you. You're like, just get away from me. Occasionally, I get that with my kids. I'm like, if one more foot touches me, I am going to explode. But we don't often think about how sometimes we're the ones doing the intrusion. And when we get away from relationships, we can reflect on that. We can let God clarify that. But other times we just simply avoid. Other times the relationships are messed up and we don't want to have anything to do with it. And so we get away. We want to get in an argument and we just want to run the other way and leave it behind. These are two ways that we mess up relationships. And when my kids do this, I give them three, count of three. You know, that's one, that's two, that's three. And then what happens then? It's a timeout, right? It's a timeout. And they each get the amount of time based on, you know, how old they are. My four-year-old gets 4 minutes unless he slams the door on the way in. And then he gets two more minutes on top of that. And then my seven-year-old gets 7 minutes. But sometimes we adults need some time out too, don't we? Sometimes we act like toddlers as well, kind of like this.
I don't want to pay bills. I want to pay bills. I want to be there now.
So some of you were like that this morning, you know, with the time change. You're like, ah. Now, if my kids get a 4-minute timeout and 7-minute timeout, does that mean I get a 42-minute timeout? That would be spectacular, wouldn't it? Daddy needs a 42-minute timeout right now, kids. You just feed yourself. Micah, watch your brother. I'll be back in 42 minutes. But sometimes we adults need a timeout. This series of Practices of Love is built on another book by the same title, Practices of Love, by Kyle David Bennett. And he says this in the book: what if we took some time every day to step away from community in our playtime together? That's a timeout, right? To evaluate our thoughts, attitudes, feelings, behavior, and lifestyle. Okay, maybe not 42 minutes, but 4 minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes. So just reflect on how are we interacting with people today? And how do we go back in and interact in a more loving, a more holy, a more engaging Jesus-like way? It's the difference of Christopher McCandless seclusion or Superman's Fortress of Solitude. We leave the solitude to work for the collective humanity around us. Now, there's some things we're going to learn today that solitude is not. It's not seclusion. It's not Christopher McCandless getting away. It's not vacation either. It's not going and binging that next season of whatever your favorite show is on Netflix. Although I just realized the other day that Sherlock season 4 is on Netflix. Somehow I missed that, and so now I'm sucked in. That's not solitude when I've ensconced myself in my bedroom and made my wife deal with the kids for 5 hours while I catch up on Sherlock. That's idleness. That's laziness. That's something else. It's not solitude. Because do you remember what solitude was for? For renewing relationships. We see people in the Bible practicing solitude in lots of different places. One of them is Moses. The author of Exodus says this. It was Moses' practice. That means he did this regularly. It means he had sort of a rhythm of this. It was his practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. It's like my kids and I camp sometimes in the backyard. There's like this grove of trees. You know, you set up the camp or the tent back there and you go hang out in it. And inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Now, if I was in my tent in my backyard and I was talking to God face to face as a friend, I'd be tempted to just stay there. You know, let the kids deal with themselves. Let all the people deal with themselves. But that's not what Moses does. We read that afterward, Moses would return to the camp. He had this vertical relationship with God, and he spent time in solitude to nurture that, but then it was so that he could go back and be that leader in a difficult situation that he was in, that horizontal relationship. If you read between the lines through the stories of Jesus, you'll see, I think, that Jesus sometimes gets really fed up with people. He gets annoyed with them. Peter is one of his closest friends and closest followers, but Peter is always messing things up. Peter's nickname is Rock. That's what Peter means in Greek. And usually we think of that Jesus gave him that nickname because he was like the foundation. He was like the rock. But sometimes I wonder if it wasn't because he was like a box of rocks upstairs. Like he's a, you know, dense. And Jesus just is fed up with him. And one day he's like, you are like a rock up there. Come on. I can't get through to you. And then James and John, two other followers, are arguing about who gets to be like the best person in the kingdom of heaven. And people are always mooching off of Jesus. He gets fed up with that. It's like they just want another miracle, or they want to be healed, or they want to be fed some food. And you got to imagine that Jesus would just get tired of that. He was a human after all as well. And so we see these moments where Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer, to connect in that vertical relationship. Maybe that was so he could go back and talk to his box of rocks, Peter, or deal with the people who were mooching off of him, those extra grace required people. Because solitude is for renewing relationships. There's practices of solitude that are both long-term, and others that are short-term. We're going to spend most of our time today in short, but I want to dwell just a little bit in the longer practices of solitude. In your program today, as every week, there's notes for the message, and I've listed several places where you could go for a longer practice of solitude. I've given you a whole list of things that you could do in those times. But one long practice of solitude that we see in the Bible there's an Old Testament tradition of what's called the Sabbath year. And it pops up in seven different places in the Old Testament. In the Sabbath year, you'd give the ground some solitude. You'd let the farmland lay fallow, plant no crops that year. You'd forgive debts. You'd set slaves or servants free. And then there was a Sabbath of Sabbaths here. Every seventh year, which is every 49 years, was the year of Jubilee. And all of the land would revert back to whoever it originally owned it. So you couldn't sell your family's property away forever. It always came back to you, so that the family was never destitute for generation after generation. Out of this idea of a Sabbath year, this practice of a Sabbath year, Christian leaders and even leaders just in general have developed a practice of solitude called a sabbatical, which is a longer period of time away to learn and to grow and to renew their spirits and to rest. And this summer, I'm going to be practicing that practice of solitude. I'm going to be going on a sabbatical for about 3.5 months to renew my relationship with Sycamore Creek, with all y'all. Now, Patricia Alderman is a leader in our church. She's on our leadership team, and Patricia is going to share with you a little more of the details about this sabbatical.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I am Patricia, and I came to Sycamore Creek in early 2006, and I've been serving on the vision team since about 2013. One of the things that the vision team and I have been preparing for years, really, is Pastor Tom's sabbatical. It was actually started, the planning process for it, the very first day that Tom was appointed here. It began the first day that he was appointed, and likewise Mark's sabbatical, Pastor Mark at the Potterville campus, his sabbatical was started in the planning stages on the first day that he was appointed. And his sabbatical is planned for around year 7, and Pastor Tom's was originally planned for around year 7 as well. There were a couple of delays that came up, and one of them we're sitting in. We acquired and began renovating this building. We transitioned from church in a diner to church in a pub. We then adopted and began and are still renovating the Potterville campus. And so at this time, it feels like a natural resting state for our church and a really good time for Tom to go on sabbatical. By the summer, it will have been about 2 years that Potterville has been up and running and that church in a pub has been up and running. And so they'll have the stability that's needed for Tom to be able to step away. So Tom's sabbatical will begin on May 28th and we'll be able to celebrate his return on September 16th. So what is a sabbatical? One thing it's not is a vacation. As awesome as it sounds, it's not a Sherlock Fest vacation, which would be awesome for me. It's a time of intensive, focused renewal for Pastor Tom as he carries out the vision of Sycamore Creek, which is 7 venues, 7 satellites, and 7 days of the week. Tom will work with a coach to refine and renew his visioning skills and build on his leadership skills so that he'll be able to continue in that vision for us. He'll work with a coach to study other multi-site churches. He'll work with experts on church planting, and he'll be able to have time away from his day-to-day duties as a pastor to be able to focus on those things in order to lead us for the long haul at Sycamore Creek. It'll also afford him time away to renew relationships, to renew his body, soul, mind, and to be able to come back to us to be best prepared to lead us into the future. So what's its impact, the sabbatical, on us as a church? It's going to be similar for us in that we'll be able to step into more leadership roles. Pastor Mark will take on more leadership at the Potterville campus and here as well. The teaching team will be able to preach for longer stretches of time and sort of build up their bench strength. In order for us to carry out this vision, the teaching team will need to get better and better at preaching. Having them be able to preach longer stretches will allow them to do that. The teaching team will take on more leadership, as will Pastor Mark, the worship leaders, Jeremy and Kevin, the office staff, key leaders here. We will all be able to hone and renew those leadership skills that will also help us go for the long haul. Pastor Mark will, as I said, be on sabbatical in around year 7. This will be practice for him as he gears up for that. Sometimes I would wonder, what's this going to cost? Maybe some of you are wondering that also. The strategic plan for Sycamore Creek has always included a sabbatical. A little bit of money was set aside each month as it was available for the sabbatical. And as of this moment, we have about $3,800 saved for the sabbatical. In terms of what's next, you may have received an email with some of these details. You can also look forward to announcements of a town hall in the next few months with some more details, as well as an opportunity for you to ask questions that you might have. So be thinking about those. In the meantime, I would ask you to help me, join me in praying for Pastor Tom's sabbatical. Pray that God would use this time of renewal to carry out our mission of igniting authentic life in Christ and fanning it into an all-consuming flame. Pray for Tom that God would use this time to renew his mind, his body, his spirit, his energy, and provide him the vision that he needs to lead us. Pray for Pastor Mark, Pastor Tom Fox, as he carries out his pastoral care duties, for Jeremy and Kevin, the teaching team, and the office staff. Pray that we as a church might receive and be led by God's wisdom and strength for where he wants us to go during the sabbatical and beyond. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia. So you remember what solitude is for? Renewing relationships, right? So this is a period, the sabbatical is a period of stepping away to renew the relationship. When I first came to Sycamore Creek, I wanted to start that conversation right from the bat, because my goal is to be here for as long as I possibly can, and to not get to a place of burnout. And so we started planning long before, and this is not reactionary. It's been a long-term process of planning. So we've talked about long practices of solitude, but you don't have to like go backpacking in Europe or go to a retreat center for 3 days or go hang out in the wilderness for a long period of time. You can do it in short ways as well. Kyle David Bennett says it this way: one small but significant way we can love our neighbor through solitude is by altering daily deeds in our everyday socializing so that we can take breaks, have timeouts. This is like not about adding big chunks of time into your calendar. It's about rethinking how you already are spending your time. And so here's some a list of some ways that you could practice solitude in short ways. 15 minutes a day. Maybe that's during your lunch break. Instead of watching more YouTube videos at lunch, take some time to just reflect on how's your relationship with your coworkers, with your boss. How are things going? Spend that time seeking God, talking to God in that vertical relationship, so that you can come back and have those horizontal relationships be more healthy and holy. I get up about, I'm up about 45 minutes before anybody else in my family is up, and so maybe that's for you as well. I know it's harder right now with the time change, but 15 minutes a day. Or how about in the bathroom? I know that seems a little funny, isn't it? But I found myself at times avoiding my kids in the bathroom. I take my cell phone in there and or a magazine, and then before I know it, I spend a lot of time riding the porcelain bus. A friend of mine posted this picture on his Instagram page. The caption was, "She's watching me." I asked him if I could share this with you, by the way. But I realized, you know, my kids are learning something when they see their dad avoiding them by going into the bathroom with his cell phone and hanging out there for too long. What if instead of taking that time in that way, what if I took it to regather myself, to say a quick prayer, and to come out ready to be a better parent, a better husband? Or if you're at work and, you know, you need to get away, nobody's going to complain if you say, I got to go to the bathroom. And you go and you take a moment to regroup in the bathroom in solitude before you go back out to be a better coworker. Or how about in the car? I find myself spending a lot of time in the car. And, you know, 15-minute commute into this building every day, you know, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes back, that's a half hour of solitude that I could practice every day. During the season of Lent, Lent is the time that leads up to Easter. Christians have traditionally practiced giving something up. And this Lenten season, I've decided to give up background noise in the car. No news, no radio. I'm better off just, you know, not listening to the news to begin with these days. My health and well-being has improved significantly. But instead of taking that time to fill myself, my ears with all of that noise, I've just decided I'm going to use it to think about and pray about what's the next group of people I'm meeting with, to have that vertical connection with God, to talk to God in the car. And so that when I get out of the car and interact with you all, I'm ready to do what God wants me to do. I've also noticed something that's happened. Instead of filling my ears with music or news, I find my thoughts going to certain people. And so one of them, for example, is I've always had a hard time finding space to call my parents and, you know, to just to be a good son. But when I'm driving in the car and I'm not listening to any music or the news, my mind goes to my mom and I wonder how she's doing. So I give her a call while I'm driving in the car. You know, that in the car can be a practice of solitude. You don't have to add anything to your life, anything new to your calendar, to practice that solitude. In fact, when you leave here today, one of the next steps you can do is drive through one of these neighborhoods, Scott Woods or Sycamore Park or Baker Denora or Clifford neighborhood, and spend that time, instead of listening to the radio, spend it in prayer for these neighborhoods, that the folks who are in these neighborhoods would find an Easter service that they can connect with and to center their life on. In the car is a short practice of solitude. Or how about when you're angry or frustrated? Like that video we watched earlier from BuzzFeed. You know, that's sort of over the top, but you know it when your blood pressure goes up and your heart rate starts to race and you get that fight or flight. And, you know, in that moment, there's nothing positive coming out of your mouth. Nothing creative to solve the situation. It would be much better to call a timeout, to leave for a little while. Now, here's the trick, right? Like, if you don't come back, then you're just avoiding. You got to come back. But to come back after the heart rate's gone down, after the blood pressure, that might be the next day. It might be somebody, when you're angry or frustrated, take some solitude. Talk to God. Let all that stuff work its way out. And then this is something no monk or nun, you know, in ancient Christian tradition ever had to think about social media or technology. But there's a way that these phones sometimes intrude. We think they connect us, but they really intrude, or they help us avoid relationships. And if we're not careful with the way that we interact with our phones, we could end up like this.
In today's modern world, you can watch what you're doing, or you can watch where you're going, but you can't do both. And now, you don't have to, thanks to Guiding Hands. At Guiding Hands, we understand how important it is to stay connected when you're on the go. Simply request a guiding hand, and within seconds, we'll be at your side, ready to guide you to your destination. Let us navigate your world so you can navigate the web. Your guiding hand will take care of all the pesky distractions that once forced you to look up. We look out for you, so you can keep an eye on the things that matter most. Enjoy the security that comes in knowing you are finally, truly connected.
You're finally, truly connected. Now, that's Conan O'Brien video, and there's more of it that's not church appropriate on Sunday morning. But you can kind of imagine where that might go. Sometimes these phones and social media and technology create the illusion of connection. But what we need to do is we need to take a practice of solitude away from them. That's why we said today, normally we say take selfies, share it out on your social media on Sunday morning, but today just disconnect from your phone. I had a really hard time doing that in the first service, by the way. I got done with the service and I went and stood back where I normally do, and I took my phone out to start to take a picture of everything I thought was so cool. See, and I was like, wait, hold on. And then I had to stick it back in my pocket. Because we have these habits, and it's only in the process of like taking some solitude, practicing solitude, that we begin to even notice that those ways that we interact sometimes in not a very healthy or holy way. I printed in your program some questions that Kyle David Bennett gives for reflecting in solitude. And I'd encourage you to take those questions and put them somewhere where you might practice solitude, whether that's in your car or in the bathroom, or take them with you and pin them up at work. Have I thought ill of anyone today? How did I treat my wife, my husband, my spouse, my kids, my coworker, my neighbor? How did I treat them today? Did I miss an opportunity to help anyone? Did I take something that I didn't need and another could have used? Did I share something with someone today? And if not, what could I have shared? Were my words kind and said in a loving way? What do I do? And usually we think about what others do to annoy, frustrate, or hurt. But what did I do to do that today? And how could I do things differently? Let's remember where we've been today. Solitude is for what? Renewed relationships. Now, we mess up our relationships by avoiding and intruding. Solitude gives us time out to reflect on those relationships, to let God's Spirit work in our lives in those relationships. And we can practice solitude in long ways, or we can just adjust the way we spend our day-to-day activities and practice solitude in short ways. But it's all focused on this idea of renewing our relationships. Let's go back to Christopher McCandless. He didn't actually make it out of that bus alive. And when they found his journal at the end of his life, the last thing he had written in it was, "Happiness is only real when shared." It was too late for Christopher McCandless. He had realized too late that he was practicing seclusion, not solitude. In your program is a prayer that Kyle David Bennett wrote for solitude. It's a little longer than I usually pray, but I'd encourage you to follow along with me. I'm going to read it out loud, and you pray it silently. Heavenly Father, you created us in your image to commune with you. You then saw that it was not good for us to be alone, so you threw us even further into community. Yet daily we turn from community by avoiding others. Daily we disrupt community by imposing ourselves on others. God, forgive us for making our lives about us. Forgive us for unraveling the community we share in you. Jesus, teach us how to reach out to those whom we think are not worthy, who are different, rebellious, or insignificant. Spirit, in moments of frustration, anger, insecurity, anxiety, and indifference, help us gather ourselves and gravitate toward our neighbor in healing and reconciliation. For your glory and our witness, we pray. Amen.